All right, any survivors in the house today? There we go. How many know this is the last sermon today we'll be speaking on I'm a Survivor. This is a bonus message today. I'm titling the bonus message. You're going to get the bonus message. The first four messages in the series had to do with inspiration. They inspired you to handle your storm, how to handle the heat, the fire when you walk through the fire, how to handle when the pressures of life come on. And the last four messages have been more theological to bring balance. It's not just inspirational, but it's also theological, teaching you how we fight the faith fight. According to what Paul said to Peter, he says, Peter, fight the good fight of faith. And we're in a faith fight. So if we're going to survive our battles, we're going to survive what's going on to us, we got to learn to fight the fight of faith and have a clear biblical definition of what faith is in our life. And so if you missed any of those eight sermons over the last 8 weeks, I know a lot of you have been traveling for the summer, a lot of vacations going on. It's that time of the year. And so I just encourage you to go back and pick up some of those sermons maybe you missed in a series. I guarantee you that each one in itself will bless you. We've had tremendous response from the series and what God has spoken to you individually through each sermon. Today I want to conclude with the thought, is your mind made up? Is your mind made up? Ask your neighbor, is your mind made up? Anybody? Don't look at your neighbor like you're stubborn. Like, I didn't say, are they stubborn? I said, is your mind made up? See, you got to determine in your mind right now how you're going to react to the future. Let me say again. You're going to have to determine right now how will you respond to the future. And you got to make up a mind now how I will handle my storm before I ever get to my storm. Let's kick off our text today in Job chapter 1. Tremendous story of the man Job. As many of you, as you turn there in your Bibles or look it up on your electronic device there, going to the book of Job. I love what Landon used to say. My son Landon, who's 13 now, used to say when he was 8 or 9. He said, Dad, what's that book in the Bible that teaches you how to get a job? I go, teach you how to get a job? What are you talking about? The Bible's full of how you would work. No, that Bible that teaches you how to get a job. You know, the book of Job. No, not the book of Job. It's the book of Job. Okay, so let's look about Job's life here today. Job, there was a man in the land of Oz. No, I mean Uz. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, the one who feared God. Look at this. He feared God and he shunned evil. Many of these translations say that he clinged to goodness. He clinged to the things of God and he shunned away evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 kids. Wow. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that was, this man was the greatest. And this word greatest translates as talking about the richest of all the people of the East. So we're looking at verse 6. But it says, now there was a day. All right. Anytime you hear this, there's something you need to pay attention to. Now there was a day. Things are going to change. See, we'll come back to this statement later on, but let's know that every one of us, there come a day when now there is a day. When the sons of God came, present himself before the Lord, Satan also came among them, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? We see here where this is a story of Job's life. It's a tremendous story. He was one of the most blessed men in Scripture, one of the richest men in Scripture, and he lost it all. But in today's time, we see where he lost everything, lost all of his children. All 10 of his kids were killed at once. They were all in the same household when the house collapsed, and they all died. Within hours, he lost all of his children. He lost all of his animals. All his possessions were gone within a matter of hours, a matter of minutes. They were stolen away, and we know where Satan came to Jesus and said, hey, I want to take away Job only loves you because of his possessions. And God says, one time in Scripture, God allowed this to happen, to prove a point, that he allowed Satan to do what he wanted in Job's life, except for killing him. He said, you can't kill Job, but you can do anything else in his life, and we're going to test his faithfulness. And, of course, he took away all of his possessions. He took away everything that he held dear to, and he still held on very firmly to his decision in Christ. And it's a great role model for you and I, because you see here in Scripture, Jesus taught about this very principle in Matthew 7:13. Before Jesus ever taught about it, Job was really following this example. That's what Jesus says. Is enter through the narrow gate. Everybody say the small gate. It's a small gate. Okay, if you didn't know this, Christianity is a small gate. It's for everyone. Jesus died for the sins of the world, but he says it's a small gate that you go through. Let's keep reading, then we'll come back and look at it. He says, narrow is the gate, for wide And broad is the road that leads to where? Destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And so we see this principle in Scripture that Jesus is talking to you and I, that it broad is the gate. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, society will push you down a way that they say is right, and it's not right. Everybody just kind of goes with the flow. Whatever society says is okay, you'll do that. Society's morals are changing, my morals change. Society does this, okay, it's okay. I just kind of go with the flow. And Jesus says peer pressure will lead you, and society will lead you down a wide gate that leads to destruction. But he says narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few find it. He's saying this, that, man, Christianity is about finding that narrow gate and walking through it. It's not allowing society to dictate the boundaries and saying, this is okay, this is not. It's still about the word of the Lord's boundaries for my life. I can't take God's word and say, I'll take this part and this part, but this part I don't like, so it doesn't apply to my life. This part I don't believe in, so I won't. No, it's either all true or it's all false. And so we got to walk through that narrow gate. And if we're not careful, society will push you into the broad gate. Well, this is the way everybody's going. The church is irrelevant. God's word is irrelevant. What's important is what some guru says is important. Your life will only be healthy when you believe that there really is no heaven and there really is no hell. That you make eternity according to your own heaven in your own mind. And heaven is here on earth. Or it could be hell on earth, depending on where you're born. I mean, come on. What kind of nonsense is that? That's the wide gate. It basically says you just do whatever the heck you want to do. Whatever feels good to you, do it. And that's a lie of the enemy. No, narrow is the gate that leads to life. And we've got to learn to walk through that narrow gate. We got to determine right now, I'm going to walk through the narrow gate. I'm not going to be herded around like a bunch of cattle unless society tell me what's right and what's wrong. Just because somebody may have a program, their own program, and says it's okay, doesn't mean it's okay. Whether it's Christian TV or whether it's secular TV, it still doesn't line up with what God's word says is truth for my life. And so we've got to realize that it's a narrow gate. And see, Job had found this narrow gate. See, the society teaches you that possessions are greatness. And we know this, that our possessions do not represent greatness. True greatness is not measured by possessions, because your possessions will come up and they will go down. You'll have many a times and you will have, sometimes you'll be flat broke. And so if greatness is measured by possessions, we're all in trouble. And so today we got to realize that greatness is not measured by possessions. Greatness is measured by walking the narrow gate. Greatness is measured by what's going on the inside of you. Job had this figured out. He had set aside from his youth that he was going to hold on, cling on to the things of God, and he was going to shun away the things of evil. This is why God chose to bless him. If you go back and study Job's life, he didn't come from a great heritage of wealth. He learned, somewhere along the way, he learned the principle of investing. He learned hard work. He began to think wisely. He began to think and plan ahead. He began to act wisely. Why? Because he decided, I'm going to cling to the wise things of God, and I'm going to shun away the evil things. And there's no reason to believe anything separates that God blessed this man for a reason. This man had favor of God all over him for a reason. Why? Because his attitude was different. It says that his decisions in his life shaped who he was. See, sooner or later, life can make you make bad decisions. And you got to decide in your life, am I going to cling to the things that are good, or am I going to shun the things that are evil? See, the sooner we experience saying, God, I'm going to cling to the things of God, I'm going to hold on to the things of God no matter what, the sooner I can learn to walk in God's favor in my life. But if I'm going to cling on to evil on one hand and then cling on to God in the other hand, there's always going to be a struggle. There's always going to be a power struggle. I'm not either hot, I'm not either cold. And God says, what happens to those people? He says, I'll spew them out of my mouth. They won't walk in his favor. They will not walk in the favor that God has got for our life. They will not survive. But those who destined in their heart that I'm going to hold on to the things of God. See, there's two things that determine what we become in life. Number one, our decisions. Our decisions determine really what we become in life. Will I stay in school? Will I drop out of school? Will I work hard? Will I just take a break every 15 minutes? Will I push? Will I invest? Will I save? Will I spend? Will I max out my credit card? Will I shop wisely? I mean, who I hang around? Who are my closest friends? All these things shape who I am in life. They determine who I become in life. So our decisions, basically in life, they shape us, don't they? Our decisions shape us. And the second thing I believe, which is big, is our response to God. Our response to God will shape our life and determine what we become in life. God lets you decide how you will live your life. He's made us free agents. And He's given us the ability to choose to live for Him or not to. There's consequences to either side. There's reward the one way and there's consequences the other way. But He has not made us as robots, because that's not love. He's given us the free choice to freely choose to do the right thing, to freely choose to pursue Him, to freely choose to love Him, to serve Him. So our response to God will dictate our future. But I want you to realize this. Write this down. That we have the power to make our own choices. We have the power to make our own choices, but our choices have the power to make us. We have the power to make our own choices, but our choices have the power to make us. We have to determine right now what choices are we making, because our choices we make now are shaping us and they are setting out a plan for the destiny of our life. God, am I going to respond to Your voice? Am I going to follow after Your leading? Am I going to follow after Your call? Am I going to follow after the things that are good and hold on to those? Or am I going to go down the broad way that everybody else is just pushing me down and says, do what you want to do. There's no rules. There's no regulations. You just do what you think is best and you'll be okay. That's the broad way. Everybody goes that. But as the disciplined person says, no. I've got to fight my way through the crowd here. I've got to stand out. I've got to get over here to the narrow gate and go the way of the God. God, I don't care if I'm the only one that walks this path, God. I'm going to walk it. God, I don't care if I'm the only one in my school that'll make a stand. I'll stand. God, I don't care if I'm the only one in my work that won't cuss. I'm not going to cuss. I don't care if I'm the only one that checks out on time and doesn't cheat on their time card. I'm going to do things with integrity. I don't care if I'm the only one that doesn't look at pornography on my computer at work. I'm going to live my life right. Come on, I'm just going to preach where we live today. Someone's going to make a decision now. Otherwise, you will always fall to what the world is pushing you to do. So you got to determine in your heart now, how am I going to respond? The decisions I make now determine my future. Ecclesiastes makes it very clear. This is a great verse. It says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. And to all of our GAP students and to all of our Illuminate students, I really want to target in on you for a few moments here today. This is for all of us, but especially you, because the Scripture is really saying this. You know, how many remember when you were 11 and 12? Any students here remember? Okay. Well, you could not wait. Somebody asked you, how old you were? I'm 12 going on 13. Remember that? I remember those days. How old are you? I'm 12 going on 13. You could not wait to be a teenager. It seemed like it took forever to become a teenager. And once you became 13, you're like, yes, I'm a teenager. I get to go to the youth group. Yeah. Swim party. Here I come, man. I'm there. And, you know, you feel so like you're growing up. You're taking stage. I'm not a kid no more. I'm a teenager. And once you turn 13, you can't wait to be 16. I can't wait to get my license. I can't wait to get my license. It's like time drags on. I'll never turn 13. And finally, you're going to turn 13. You're like, I'll never turn 16. Oh, I just can't wait till I can drive and have a little independence and drive myself. And finally, you turn 16 and get your license. You're like, yes, I can't wait till I graduate. I can't wait till I graduate, and then I'll be the boss of me. And nobody will ever be the boss of me again. Come on, I said the same thing, guys. I'm just telling you. No one will ever be the boss of me again. I'll be independent. I want someone to tell me when to go to school and when to do this. And I can be my own boss. I can come and go when I want to. And I can't wait to graduate, right? And then if something happens as soon as we graduate, it's like Father Time straps a turbo booster on the back of your back. And all of a sudden, what took forever to happen begins to fly by. All of a sudden, you get to college, you're enrolling in college, and you turn around, you're out of college. And all of a sudden, you're trying to find a job, and you're married, and you got kids coming, and boom, boom, and all of a sudden, you're in your 30s, and all of a sudden, you're in your 40s, and you're hanging on like this, and the Father Time is just sucking you down the path. And you're like, no, I don't want to go. I can't be 40. That means I'm close to 50, and I'm too young for that. I am, I don't know about you, but I am. The other day, I was looking in the mirror and said, honey, we got to change these light bulbs in my bathroom. She said, why? I said, because they make my hair look kind of white right here on the edges. It had to be the light bulb because I'm not getting that old. I can't cut my hair any shorter to get it out of there. It's going there, okay? Time is just flying by. It seems like just yesterday I said, I can't wait to get out of school. It's going to fly by. So this is why, listen to me. Students, let me tell you, this is why it's so important, because this is what Scripture is saying. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. Because right now, the toughest decision you have when you leave here today is, what's going to be my first thing I put on Twitter when I leave the service today? What's going to be the first photo I put on Instagram today of myself? Look at my church outfit. Ooh, yeah. Hope my selfie looks good. Why does everybody else's selfie look so much better than my self-portrait? Picture. I mean, some of you, the biggest decisions you have today is whether or not you wore your skinny jeans or your bootcut jeans. I mean, come on. And if you're in 30s making that decision, maybe you're in the wrong decade, okay? Give it up, okay? But just a little observation. I went to a conference the other day, and staff will tell you this. There's some guys there, 40 years old, walking around in skinny jeans, trying to be all cool, and I'm like, give it up! You ain't cool because you're wearing skinny jeans at 40. I just tell you that right now. Okay, this little revelation from the Lord. So, this is what he's saying. He's saying this. He says that before you get trapped into all this other stuff, because before you know it, right now your biggest decision is, what am I going to wear tomorrow? Maybe how am I going to get in school? What classes am I going to take? Before you know it, you're going to say, your pressures are, how am I going to make this house payment, this car payment? How am I going to take care of my kids? My kids are going back to school. I got school supplies, school's closed, school lunches. Oh, my job, and oh, my wife, oh. And pretty soon you know, you're like, oh, my God. Life is going to come down on you. And so if you don't make decisions now, make it now while your decisions aren't near as cloudy as it's going to be later. Right now, your decisions are who I hang around. That's my, who, what friends am I going to hang around? Am I going to hang around good friends or bad friends? Am I going to hang around people who make me do good or friends who tempt me to do bad? I mean, that's the decision we have. So right now, make a decision in your heart that you're going to hold on to the God of your Creator. This is the time. If you're saying, I'll do it when I graduate, you're waiting too long. Oh, I'll do it after I get out of college, you're waiting too long. Oh, I'll serve God after I get married, you're waiting too long. After I have children, I'll settle down, you're waiting too long. By then, you've already went through storms. They're going to cost you more that you want to pay. Anybody who understand what I'm saying, say amen. You know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to save you some heartache in your life. Number one, heartache. But number two, I want to see the hand of God and favor be upon your life. So when people look at you, they say there's something different about them. The favor of God is upon them. They're so young, but they get promoted in everything they do. Everything they touch is prosperous. Everything they do, God is blessing. Why? Because at a young age, they decided, I'm going to find out who my identity is. And I'm going to say, my identity is attached to Christ. It's not attached to what society tells me. And I'm going to pursue in my heart that, God, no matter what, I'm going to hang on to you now. If you wait until you're in a bad situation, you'll always fail. I can't wait until I'm in a bad situation and say, all right, I'm not going to do it now. Come on now. You don't talk about it. If you have already determined in your heart that you're going to wait to have sex until after you get married, you can't wait until you're in the middle of making out and all of a sudden say, well, I think I'll stop. We all know it doesn't work that way, does it? That's a lot harder. But I got to decide in my heart, God, right now, I'm going to wait the best. I'm not going to make the bad decision now. God, I'm making right now that when I get in that situation, I'm going to shun that thing. God, I'm going to stay away from that party. God, I'm going to stay away from these friends. God, I'm going to stay away from the situation. I'm going to stay away from people in my marriage that want to destroy my marriage. I'm going to stay away from things that will cause me to cheat on my spouse. I've already decided right now. I can't wait until I'm in the middle of that heated situation. I got to determine right now that, God, I'm going to hang on to you now. This is how we survive. God, when I get in my storm, I'm going to hang on to you now. I can't wait. I got to decide now. Have you got a made-up mind? See, Job had a made-up mind. How he responds to God. See, the most important thing in this service is not just the word that's being preached right now. That's important. It's not just the great music we had to worship. That's very important. The most important time in this service is how you will respond to the Holy Spirit. See, the spotlight goes upon the worship for a while. It goes on the pastor for a while as he ministers. But at some point, the Holy Spirit will take a spotlight and he'll shine it right on you. He'll shine it right on you and say, how will you respond? Right now, the Holy Spirit's already dealt with many of you right now. And you can either say, oh, you know what? I'm going to get on my phone and I'm going to read Facebook until Pastor Gene gets off the subject because he's making me really uncomfortable. I'm going to ignore it, and then hopefully he'll pray, let's go, and I don't have to deal with the Holy Spirit. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to respond. Holy Spirit, you're talking to me now about making some changes. Holy Spirit, you're talking to me now about making some decisions, that I'm going to hang on to the things of God now, so that when I get in that situation next, that I'm already ready to handle that situation. I've already declared in my heart that I'm going to hang on to the things of God. I'm going to shun evil. I don't ignore it. Verse 6 says that there came a day. Verse 6 said there came a day. There's going to come a day. See, I remember how I had to respond to the Holy Spirit. I will tell you this. I made a lot of mistakes growing up. Huge mistakes. And I would share with you, but my children are still in school. And some things they just don't need to know, okay? But they just know this. I wasn't perfect growing up. Neither are they. Neither were you. So let's don't pretend like anybody was. We're not. But I remember the time when God began to move in my heart. And I decided I was going to be different. And it was a process. It wasn't an overnight thing. I didn't decide it one day. The next day, I was walking around going, hallelujah, how are you doing? I don't do that now, thank God. So I didn't do it then either. So, you know, but it became a process. I decided, God, I know that you're real. I know you're calling on me. And it became a process. I remember the time when I was in a worship service. And I was there and some worship was going on. Everybody was sitting there like this. Hallelujah, oh God is good. Kumbaya, my Lord. Anyway, you know, real gentle, and I just remember the Holy Spirit. I couldn't stop crying, Dusty. I couldn't stop crying. Holy Spirit was all over me, just moving. I remember all of a sudden I just felt the Holy Spirit pull on me up, and I was like, I just lifted my hands up in the middle of that service, and I was crying with tears rolling down my face, and I was the only one, and people looked at me, sit down. It's not the time. The pastor's not done. Sit. They wouldn't use that response for me. They thought I was just standing up for the wrong reason. But they didn't realize I didn't care. It was something that was going on inside of me. And I was saying, God, I don't care if I'm, what was going on in my spirit was this. I said, God, I don't care if I'm the only one. I'm going to worship you. God, I don't care if you're the only one. God, you're changing. I declare in my heart, God, from this day forward, I'm going to pursue the things of God in my life. It's going to be bumpy ride at times. There's going to be some growth pains. There's things going to happen. But God, I declare that God, I am going to pursue the things of you in my life. I'll never forget that. I can't tell you what the pastor preached that morning. Couldn't tell you anything that happened that day. But I can always tell you that my response to God. See, 3 months from now, you won't remember this message unless you go back and listen to it on the iCast. But you will remember your response to the Holy Spirit. I can remember my responses to the Holy Spirit. I can remember the things I said in my heart to God. I would declare, God, I'm taking this. I'm changing this in my life. I can time and time again remember the things from my youth when I decided I was going to be different. I remember God calling me to ministry. I said, God, I don't want to do ministry. I can't stand pastors. I can't stand the church. I'm just being honest, okay? I grew up in a different kind of church, okay? So I was like, I can't stand this. And I remember saying, God, all right, I'll do it. But I can't do it that way. I'm going to have to do something totally different. And I never started the journey. See, I remember those times. I declared that. I'll never forget that. We remember those things. How we respond to the Holy Spirit has a lasting impact on us. So today, how are you going to handle the Holy Spirit? Because he's here shining the spotlight on every one of us here. He's dealing with every one of us. He's talking to you. Are you going to hold on to what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life? He's trying to pull out of you. Gap, young adults, are you going to say right now as a youth, while I'm still young, I'm going to hang on and say, God, I'm going to put you first in my life. I'm going to pursue you. I'm not going to let anybody else push me their way. God, I'm going to go your way. See, there came a day. Verse 6 said, there came a day. We read it a while ago. There came a day. Because there always comes a day when you're going to be tested. And the question is, how will you respond to that test? Let me tell you a story about Carlos Hancock. There was a great Marine sniper. Any military guys ever heard of Carlos Hancock? A few military guys have heard of him. He is legendary in the military ranks as the greatest sniper that's ever served in any branch of our U.S. military. He, as a young, in the mid-60s, began to win sharpshooting contests. He could shoot and hit a bullseye from way over a mile away. As long as he had a scope that could see it, he could hit the bullseye, no matter how far away he was. And he once hit a target 2,500 yards away. He once sniped a guy away. That's 25 football fields. I mean, this guy was good. He'd won every competition he got in, and when he went to face all the other branches, he won those as well. So he very quickly rose to the top of the snipers and began to use on several of co-op missions. One of the missions he talks about was they had a sniper. The Viet Cong in the Vietnam War had a sniper who was just almost as good as he was. And he was taking out several of our top high-ranking officials and high-ranking officers in the armed forces. So they called Carlos and said, we're going to drop you off in a place where we know he's sniping on the opposite end, and we want you to follow, go after him and get this guy. He's killing all of our guys. And so they dropped Carlos off, and he began this pursuit. And the word got out that he was pursuing this sniper, and so the other sniper began to pursue him. So now we have this cat and mouse game going on between two snipers out in the Viet Cong jungle. I mean, this gets really intense. And they are in full camo, full-fledged hiding. They got the brush and the whole thing, and they're not trying to move to be spotted. And all of a sudden, after several days of chasing each other around the mountain, finally Carlos sees just a little bitty flicker. Just a little bitty flicker. He wasn't sure what it was, but he pulled the scope up and he put it right there on the flicker. And when he saw that flicker, again, one more time, he just said, I think maybe this could be maybe the scope of his rifle or something. And he shot. And they went later to look up, and they found that other sniper dead. He had shot the other sniper. And they determined by looking at his gun and the way he had been shot that the bullet from Carlos's bullet from his gun went all the way through the scope of the other sniper and went right through his eye and through his head and killed him. And they have tested and proven this fact out that the only way that could have ever happened would have been if that other sniper had already spotted Carlos and had already taken aim on him. And the only reason why he didn't die and the other guy died was he pulled the trigger first. True proven fact. Matter of fact, on Mythbusters, they've actually taken this point and proven it out and set it up and showed how it could actually happen and proven the story to be true. You see, because in our life, this is what I want you to get. In our life, the enemy has this crosshairs on you, young people. Listen to me. The enemy has his crosshairs on you. As young adults, he has his crosshairs on you especially. And he's ready. He's ready to take you out. So the question is, you got to decide right now, am I going to pull the trigger first? Am I going to be a victim or am I going to be the pursuer and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of the Lord. I'm going to shun the evil and hold on to good. I have determined in my heart that I'm not going to give a hold for Satan to take hold of my life. Mom and dad, the same thing goes in our heart. We've got to pursue now and say, I've got to determine in my heart now that I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not just going to be shot off when I get into a battle. But I'm going to pull the trigger first and say, no, Satan, I'm going to keep you down in my life. I'm not going to give you a foothold of control in my life. I'm going to shun away from the evil things. And I've determined in my heart through the good season, and through the bad season, I'm going to hang on to God. See, Job had already determined in his heart that he was going to hang on no matter what. And that's why when his possessions left him, and everybody said, Job, curse God and go away, give up on God, he did not do it. They said, Job, you've lost everything. Even his wife said, Job, curse God and die. And She gets a bad rap many times. A lot of preachers give her a bad rap, but, you know, give a woman a break. She just lost 10 children in one day. I think she's entitled to a nervous breakdown. It's okay. And she's like, Job, just curse God and die. She's having a mental breakdown. And Job says, I'm hurting, but I am not going to curse God. I'm hanging on to God no matter what. Did he determine that after he lost everything? No, he determined that way before, even when he was blessed, even before he had anything, he determined that. And after he had that, he determined that. And when he lost it all, he still held on saying, you know what? I'm holding on, determined in my heart. So we got to make those decisions now. Maybe you've made decisions in your life that you say, Pastor, I wish I'd done that earlier. And now I've made some bad decisions. That's okay. Step up. Say, God, from this day forward, I want to declare in my heart, I'm going to hang on to the things of God. I'm going to start a new pattern in my life, a new commitment. Decide how you're going to handle the storm now. They called Carlos Hancock for one last assignment. He had been trying to retire. And they said, we got one more assignment we want you to do before you retire. And they said, we got a general. He was a general in the North Vietnam. They said, we need to take him out, but the problem is it's too dangerous for anybody else. Because of where he's located at, if we send anybody else will die trying to attempt to do this. You're the only person we know who even has a chance of succeeding this mission. Do you choose to accept this mission? No. And Carlos says, yes, I'll accept the mission. And so he decided to accept this one last mission before he retired. And they dropped him off, and they showed him the plan. They showed him where he was at. They were going to drop him off, and he had to crawl 2,000 yards to get himself in position to wait for this general to appear at a certain time during the day. So at a certain time, he comes out of his tent. This is where it's at. He'll stretch. This is where you have a chance to take him out. But you're right in the middle of enemy territory. You're going to find a ravine right here, crawl through this ravine, and work your way up. But you're going to move very slow. So they dropped him off, and it took him 3 days of constantly inching his way 1,500 to 2,000 yards to get himself in position. The way, 3 days. He said 3 days he had no food. 3 days he had no sleep. And he had just barely moving his way, just an inch at a time. He said, he had fire ants crawling all over him, biting him, eating away his flesh from his skin. He said, I was hungry. I was going without sleep. I was hallucinating, delirious. He said, all I did was take a cap full of water and wet my tongue every so often. That's the only thing he had for 3 days. He said, my mind was trying to leave me, and then finally I focused back in. And finally he got himself in position and was able to take the shot and took out the guy. And he got back to base, and they celebrated him as a hero, and now they have classes named after him, trophies named after him, and he's a great American hero. Anyway, they asked him, I said, how did you complete this assignment? He said, it's very clear. He goes, before I ever accepted this assignment, I determined in my mind I was going to see it through. So when I was out there and it got really tough, and he goes, those ants were eating at me, those fire ants were stinging me and eating at me. He goes, and I was hallucinating. He goes, my mind would come back, and I'd bring my mind back and say, no, hang on. You determined you're going to follow this through. When it said turn around and run and get out of there, yeah, I decided I was going to follow through, because I determined ahead of time that when it got tough and I began to get this stage of my life and the stage of my assignment, that I was going to see it through. He goes, I had already predetermined before I got in there that I was going to see it through. The same thing happens in our life. You've got to predetermine right now that you're going to see it through. Before you ever get into your storm, before you ever get into your battle, you got to predetermine right now, I'm going to see it through. So you don't want to wait until you're in the middle of your storm. Look at this. You don't want to wait until you're in the middle of your storm to make a decision to hold on for God and do what is right. Do it now. Do it now. Don't wait until you're in the middle of your storm to make a decision to hold on to God or do what is right. Do it now. Because if you wait until you're in the middle of your storm, it's too late. It's too late. You got to decide now. Some of you think, well, Pastor, that's great. You want to survive, but I'm not in a storm. Great. So now, determine in your heart, God, when I face, because there will come a day. As we've seen in Job's life, there was a day. We all have seasons when there is a day in our life. And you got to determine right now, how will you face that day? How will you face your storm? How will you face your battle? How will you face your time of fire? Because there's going to come a day when you face it. Will you stand up to the pressure? Will you go the narrow way? Or will you follow the Broadway? Will you go and say, God, I'm clinging on to you. I'm holding on to you. How you respond to God now, listen, how you respond to God now will determine how you handle your battle or storm. How you respond to God now will determine how you handle your battle or storm. David went from hero, he'd killed Goliath, to zero in a matter of days. He killed Goliath and he went from hero to Saul's chasing him. He's hiding out in the cave in a matter of days. So it was a reason. Why did David not go crazy in the cave? Why did David not give up when Saul was out to kill him? Because before he was ever a hero, he determined in his life that he had a heart after God. He'd already determined, my God is bigger than any giant I face in my life. And so through the good times, he celebrated and gave God glory. And in the bad times, when he's being hunted in the caves, he stuck on to God. The three Hebrew children, they were promoted by Daniel. Remember? They were promoted by Daniel. And they became the heroes really fast. In a matter of days, they had to stand before the music and face the bowing down of the idol. They went from hero to zero really fast. And you got to determine right now that three Hebrew children didn't decide, all right, the music's playing. Do you want to bow? No, I don't want to bow. Do you want to bow? No, well, maybe we should. What do you think, Shadrach? Well, Meshach, what do you think? Well, Abednego, I don't. What are you going to do? Well, I'll stand if you stand. Well, if you stand, I'll stand. Well, maybe. I don't know. Well, maybe she'll stand. I don't see this argument going on between them, do you? No. They had already determined ahead of time that we're going to commit ourselves to God. King, we're going to eat a certain diet. We're not going to eat your diet. King, we're going to do the things that God has called us to do. We're not going to break our vow to God. They'd already proven that before they'd ever had to face the music. And when they had to face the music, they didn't bow. Why? Because they'd already determined in their heart that they wouldn't bow. If they had waited till the music's playing to make that decision, I think they would have bowed. I really do. But they had already predetermined, I'm going to hold on to the things of God. I'm going to shun away from the things that aren't God's. It comes in a lifetime in our life when you got to make that decision. How are you going to respond to the Holy Spirit today? Do it now while you're young, is what the scripture says, young people. He says, do it now while you're young, while your mind is ready to make important decisions. Before you get into the trials of life and life gets busy and you get a lot more pressure in your life, make a decision now. Do the right thing. And if you've already blown it and say, Pastor, I wish I'd done that when I was young, but now I'm old, it's too late. No, it's not. No, it's not. We have the God of do-overs. We have the God who allows you to make fresh decisions. Every day is new in him. You can say, God, I'm determined from now on. God, I am going to handle my storm differently. I'm going to handle my temptation differently. I'm ready. I've got to know how I'll respond to this temptation from now on. I know how I'll respond to this person from now on. I know how I'll respond. Determine in your heart ahead of time. Let's bow our heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you this question. Are you here to respond to the Holy Spirit in your life? The Holy Spirit's here, and he's dealing with many hearts here this morning already in different areas. And the question I have for some of you here, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I will not embarrass you at all today, but I want to give you a chance to respond. If you're here and say, Pastor, I've never asked Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my life. I've never asked him to forgive me my sins. Today is my day. Maybe you have prayed that prayer a long time ago, and today you say, Pastor, I haven't lived for God in a long, long time, and today I want to come back and renew my covenant, my relationship with God. If that's you, can you just raise your hand so that's me, Pastor? I want to accept Jesus Christ today. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Several hands going up. This is fine. This is the time just responding to the Holy Spirit. This is one of the first things we do in responding to the Holy Spirit. It's a simple call in our heart. This is where it starts. He's talking to your heart right now. That's that voice you feel, that spirit you feel tugging in your heart right now. That's the Holy Spirit. Anybody else here today say, I feel that, and I want to respond. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anybody else today, raise your hand, that's you, and you haven't raised it yet. We're going to say this prayer, and those of you who raise your hands, we're going to say it with you out loud, and say it with me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life. All of my hurt. All of my dreams. All of my sin. I give you everything I am. from this day forward, I will live for you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family, God. Give him a hand clap. What an awesome decision today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, before you leave, stop by in the back. We've got a free Bible. What's inside that Bible has got some information on the things you need to do next in your decision to follow after Christ. Make sure if you don't have a church home, you get connected to one. We'd love to have you here if you don't have one. If you have one, go back and tell your pastors or somebody, hey, man, I made a decision today to follow after Christ. How many today, as you stand on your feet, how many today say, Pastor, I want to respond. I want to make a decision right now to respond to the Holy Spirit when it speaks to me. I want to respond differently. I don't want to wait until I'm in the middle of my storm to respond. I want to determine now how I'm going to respond before I get there. I feel the Holy Spirit talking to me now. I want God to respond and change me now. How many say, that's me, Pastor. I want to learn to respond to the Holy Spirit every day of my life. Yeah. See, he's changing us. He's setting us up. He's setting us up to succeed as we handle our storm. I'm going to invite you this morning to come to the front as we close out in the song, those who would like to. We're just going to come to the front this morning and close out with a song together. There's power in singing together. There's something about the unity that comes together when we just come together and we sing together around the front. There's something about that. Just the power of stepping out and saying, God, I come into agreement with that word being spoken over my life. I believe with my friends that are also stepping out today that, God, you're doing something I miss. Come to the front, guys. Spread out and make room as you come to the front. For those coming to the front. Make sure you don't block the aisles so those who get through who are trying to get through, guys. I appreciate that. There you go. There you go. Make that vein there coming this way. Thank you, guys. Stepping forward. Lots of people coming forward. As they lead us in the song, continue to come forward as we sing, you are stronger, you are stronger.
There is love that came for us and humbled to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again victorious.
Lift your hands this morning as we lift our hands to the Lord. Father, I pray right now, Father, for everybody lifting your hands in this place today, that God, you are determining in our heart right now. God, I pray for every young person in this house today, that God, they would look to you now, the God of their youth. That God, you would be the God of their youth right now. That God, they would not wait. But God, they would destine in their heart now to make right decisions. They'll destine in their heart right now to hold on to the things of God now. They're destined in their heart right now, God. They will hold on and say, I'm going to shun away from evil things and begin to pursue after and hold on to the things of God in my life. I pray for every parent, every adult in this room today, Father, who feel like they've made mistakes in their life and feel like they've blown it. God, I thank you, God. You are the God of second chances, of third chances. And God, you redeem through your grace. And God, I thank you, God, right now that we are determined in our hearts that, God, right now we're going to handle our storm when it comes better. We're going to determine when we get into temptation that we've already said no. We're going to determine right now we'll resist that thing. And, Father, we will pursue after the things of God even now. We will hold on to God's things and we will shun away the things that bring evil. We'll pursue after the narrow gate and God will go away from the wide gate. And Father, I pray right now, God, you allow a spirit of boldness. You allow a spirit of determination, a spirit of a made-up mind to say, God, I'm hanging on to you, and I'm not letting go no matter what. Through the good, I'm hanging on. Through the bad, I'm hanging on. Lord, through the great season, I'm hanging on. Through the blessing, I'm hanging on. Through the trial, through the storm, I will not give up. I will determine. I will hang on. And Father, we will survive, and we will overcome. As we give you praise, come on one more time. Let's give God praise. Hey.
So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Come on. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Yeah.
Come on, put your hands together and say, God, I bless your name together today. Hallelujah. Yeah. Bless the Lord today. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Turn around and give someone a hug or a high five. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. You have a great week. God bless you.